Welcome to the Mother Wound Project podcast. I'm your host, Tandy. Before we dive in today's episode, I want to start with an important disclaimer. I never tell anyone what level of contact they should have with their mother. That is a choice that is deeply personal, and only you can decide what level of contact is right for you and your specific relationship. This episode is not about convincing you to go low contact with your mom. But it's about pulling back the curtain on what low contact can actually look like and why it can be difficult, and also the realities that no one warns you about. So we're going to explore why emotionally immature mothers see boundaries as targets for negotiation, debate, or outright dismissal. And I'll walk you through what low contact can look like, whether it's just limiting texts and phone calls, asking her to reach out before showing up at your home, or scaling back visits, or limiting the amount of family gatherings you attend. There's many different ways that you can step back in your contact with your mom. And again, all of those dynamics are very unique and very individual to your own situation and which things tend to spiraling into a toxic situation. And I will also share some of my own stories so that you can see how these dynamics play out in real life, because low contact is definitely something that I have experienced as well. So, like always, grab your coffee or your favorite tea, settle in, and we're going to dive into why boundaries trigger emotionally immature mothers and what you need to know about the fallout when you choose to either step back or go low contact. So, when you set a boundary with an emotionally immature or narcissistic mother, you're not setting a healthy limit in her eyes. To her, boundaries are not to be respected. They are not even to be, she's not going to abide by whatever these boundaries are. It doesn't matter where your mother is on this spectrum of emotionally immature. It doesn't really matter to any emotionally immature mother. These are seen as either invitations for negotiation, debate, dismissal, guilt tripping, or just outright like arguments and walking all over them. So let's break down what this looks like. So number one, she may ignore the boundary entirely. So you may ask her, for example, to call or text you before coming over. But instead, she shows up unannounced anyway. And when you remind her, "Mom, if you remember, I asked you to call or text me first," your mom's going to reply with, "I'm your mother. I don't need to make an appointment to see my own daughter." That kind of response, okay? In her mind, being your mother exempts her from respecting this limit. And while I have never actually set this limit with my own mother because she's never really shown up unannounced to my house, I've not usually lived close enough for that to be an issue. But I can literally hear my mom saying, "I'm your mother. I shouldn't have to make an appointment." I could totally hear that. Now, I know your mom may respond in different styles of guilt, or, "I was in the neighborhood anyway. You know, I shouldn't have to just text all the time," or whatever. Okay. But ignoring boundaries can be, you can see this on any level of emotional immaturity or narcissism. Ignoring a boundary is very common. Whether in narcissism, we're going to see more of entitlement and more of a grandiose attitude of like, "This does not apply to me." Whereas in emotional immaturity, it's just literally like, It's less about the kind of entitled situation and just more about it's just not registering to her. And then we go into number two, which you're going to get guilt tripping. So let's say you tell your mother that you're not going to be attending a family holiday gathering this year. And instead of respecting that decision, and again, if you're doing this the way that I tell you, the way that I've tried to teach you, just telling your mother that I won't be attending, you know, whether you have a partner or family or whatever, or it's just you, instead of respecting that and just respecting you, she's going to accuse you of being selfish, of not prioritizing your family. I guess she just doesn't matter to you anymore. What could possibly be more important than family on the holidays? However, that guilt trip usually comes out with your mother, and it's, again, an individual thing, depending on your mom, her personality, and where she is on the spectrum of immaturity. But guilt can become her weapon of choice when you set a boundary and say, I won't be attending, or something like that. Guilt tripping is another one of my mother's favorite ones. So then we're going to go to number three, which is turning that limit into a debate or a negotiation. And again, anywhere on the spectrum of immaturity, you will also get this as well. It will just be coming from a different angle if you have a narcissistic situation versus just an emotionally immature situation. But let's say this is the reason I always tell you in communication with an emotionally immature person, we don't give reasons. We just don't. But if you have done this in communication in the past with your mom and said, Mom, I'm not going to be able to make it because, and then you say you have to work, or, you know, one of your children has something going on, or you are attending with your partner something or other, right? Whatever reason you give, she's going to use that as leverage to debate you. So let's say you're spending the holiday with your partner's family because his grandma is in hospice right now. And so you're going to go, you know, to where his family is from and spend time. Obviously, there's a very good reason why you're doing this. An emotionally immature mother is not going to be able to have the empathy to see why this is important. She's only going to see herself, especially if we're in a narcissistic situation. So instead of empathy and compassion and understanding of like, oh my goodness, of course, if his grandmother is in hospice, absolutely you need to be there, right? Instead of that, she's going to argue, well, you can see his grandma a few days before the holiday. You should be with us on the holiday, you know, or you can see his grandma after, a few days after. You know, you should prioritize your family. She's gonna, and I don't know, obviously, I'm giving generalizations because, you know, I'm trying to give you examples. But generally, your mom is gonna see herself as the priority. And so she's going to want you to deprioritize his family, see them before the holiday or after the holiday. Or why is it such a big deal that you have to miss the holiday, even if it was just the day after you could travel to see them, right? She's going to center herself in this. However, she guilt trips you around that. Or whatever solution she's going to debate or try to negotiate with you. She's minimizing your partner's needs and his family's needs at this time. And tries to manipulate you into splitting yourself in half, literally. Right? So you're going to see this a lot of times when you gave a reason for something. She's going to try to poke holes in that reason to center herself in the middle of the holiday or family reunion or whatever it is that you've been invited to. Okay. So negotiation and debate is another really, really common tactic that they will use to get what they want. And sometimes it will spiral. It will start with one, and if that doesn't work with you, if the guilt tripping doesn't work, then she's going to move on to another tactic. So this is not a one-off thing where if you, you know, aren't going to attend something or you ask her to call first or, you know, whatever, that she's going to do one of these and then give up and accept it. Usually it ends up in a spiral of all of these. You can get several of them at the same time. This is not, it can get really chaotic. So this is not just a one-off thing. And many of you that have experienced this are probably like, yeah, I know. Been there, done that. So the next one is playing the victim. So let's say that you've told your mom that you need a little bit of time for some reason and you just want some space for whatever reason. Maybe it's even that you've gone through you know, you're laid off at work, or you've gone through a really hard breakup, or something in your life has happened that was hard, and you're like, Mom, I'm gonna, you know, take some time and just, you know, I just need some space. And it doesn't even have anything to do with her. But again, when you have an emotionally immature mom anywhere on this spectrum, she's not going to feel like that applies to her. And so let's say you don't answer her phone call or text because you've said, for whatever reason, you just, you know, need a little bit of break. Now the narrative is going to flip. I just don't understand why you're ignoring me. I'm just trying to have a relationship with you. That kind of thing is going to happen. You should need your mother in a time like this, right? I guess you're just mad at me, even though all I do is care about you. Suddenly you are positioned as the bad daughter while she is the misunderstood martyr or victim, okay? And a lot of times what you'll see is just like I'm saying, if you went through a hard breakup or you lost your job or something happened and you're obviously, this is an emotional thing for you and you're saying, Mom, I just need a break. Maybe you say, I'm just going to take a little bit of a vacation, or I'm just going to stay home and binge watch my favorite Netflix for 2 days before I come back into the real world and deal with this, whatever it is. The reason is that you're stepping back. It may even have been an argument with her. Whatever it is, she is going to play the victim. And instead of seeing your pain and saying, oh, I am so sorry that happened to you. I am so sorry about your job. I completely understand why you would just need some space for yourself. I understand that. Please let me know if there's anything that I could do. This is what an emotionally mature mother would do, right? She would see you. She would see your pain. She would see your hurt. And she would not text or call you through the time that you said you needed some space. Even if that mother had done something to hurt you and you said, Mom, this just really hurt me. I just need some space. A mature mother would say, I am so sorry that I said that or that I did whatever it was that hurt you, right? Obviously, she would give specifics and say, I completely understand. And she would respect your space. Whereas an emotionally mature mom is going to play the martyr. She's going to play the victim. And she's going to flip it back on you no matter what you're going through in your life, because she cannot see someone else. And it is very, very painful. But the end result of all of this is that you feel drained, second-guessing yourself, constantly defending your decisions. Every boundary becomes a battle, and that exhaustion is very real. A lot of mental exhaustion happens, and a lot of women that are in relationships with emotionally immature men will often feel this drained very frequently, and they don't know why. Because in an emotionally immature relationship, he may not be yelling at you, he may not be arguing with you, but the mental exhaustion that emotionally immature people cause is very real. So if you've tried boundaries and felt like they have failed, the Mother Wound Survival Kit will walk you through scripts and tools to protect your peace. That's definitely kind of like a springboard starting point that I have for an affordable way for women to start this process. There are definitely videos that explain things to you, as well as the scripts, and there are nervous system regulating tips and all kinds of things in there. And that is just like a basic starting point. So if you are wanting some of these scripts and understanding a little bit more how to set these boundaries without getting in this spiral, that's definitely on the website for you if you want to take a look at that. But moving into the next aspect of this is, so we've talked about boundaries and some of your mom's responses potentially to the boundaries that you had set. But now I want to look even more into low contact itself. And low contact is not just a single action. It's a series of intentional steps that you take to protect your energy, your sanity, and your peace. And that's why we've been talking about, you know, maybe not going to a family gathering, or maybe to, you know, telling your mom you needed some space and not calling. Those are all things that usually happen prior to choosing a low contact situation, because you'll start to see that it just isn't working, right? It's not always this like dramatic thing that happens where you're like, okay, this is it. These are my limits. This is what the low contact's going to look like. It's usually not this calculated thing. It's usually subtle. It's gradual shifts that help you reclaim the space in your life. And I will tell you, low contact with my mom was something that happened over nearly a decade of time, where I started realizing that every time I call her, she's busy. She is somewhere with my aunt. She is at a religious event. She is grocery shopping. She's watching a Hallmark movie. Like, you know, there was never time. And when she did talk to me, oftentimes she was watching a show in the background, like watching a show, and her responses were not even appropriate for what I was saying. And so it was just slowly, I stopped calling my mom. And the contact level shifted. And for the most part, throughout these years of time of me just like slowly and subtly stepping back, she didn't even notice, because I didn't even say anything. It's not like you walk up to your mom and you're like, I am going low contact. That's not how this works. A lot of people who've never been through this experience with a mother don't understand what this actually looks like. So we're going to start number one with limiting texts and phone calls. So you might begin by just like, and I'm talking like when you start creating a low contact situation as a suggestion, if phone calls to your mom, when you're on the phone with your mom, if there's a lot of passive aggressive comments, if she's very condescending or critical and you don't really want to be on the phone very much with her, what I would suggest doing is just stating in the very beginning, hey, mom, I've only got 10 minutes to talk right now. What do you need? So we've already stated the boundary in the very beginning of the phone call that you only have 10 minutes. I want you to pay attention to that, and I want you to keep it to exactly what you said. And at around the 10-minute mark, hey, mom, I only had 10 minutes to talk. I've got to go. We'll have to talk later, and keep it to that 10 minutes. This keeps you from being trapped in long, draining conversations with your mom that descend into toxic, passive-aggressive, guilt-trippy stuff, if that's something that happens with your mom. If it doesn't, you know, then this may not be what you need to do. But you may simply start calling your mom less often, like I said I used to do. As you notice that she's talking over you, she's dismissing your feelings, she may start talking to someone else while she's on the phone with you while you're talking. I've had that happen to me a million times. Almost every time I would call my mom, unless there was no one else there. Honestly, if my mom was with anyone else when I called her, she would definitely start talking to someone else when I was mid-sentence. She may use that time to criticize, who knows. But it's okay for you to let it go to voicemail or not respond to a text immediately or at all, whatever level of limit that you feel like you need to preserve your energy. And then low contact can also be number two, asking her to call before coming over, call or text before coming over. And obviously this is for mothers that live close enough to you to do this. My mom does not, but she does pass my home when they go on trips every once in a while. And my mom she does usually text, but for many women, I do have some women that I know where their mother lives 5 minutes away. So this is a common boundary if your mom has a habit of showing up unannounced and then immediately judging you. And I actually, have a client that this happens with. So mom shows up judging the cleanliness of the home, parenting style, your schedule, what you're wearing. The kids are still in their jammies and it's noon on a Saturday. I guess you just don't dress your kids then anymore. You haven't vacuumed, you know, starting to pick you apart when she shows up. That's usually where this boundary comes from. She may drop in right as you're rushing out the door for kids' sports or, you know, something like that. And she's bugged because you're not prioritizing her, and she just adds chaos to an already stressful like moment trying to get the kids out the door, that kind of thing. If that's an experience that you have, then setting the boundary of you need to call or text first. She's not going to handle that very well, and we'll talk about that later, but that's another boundary or kind of limiting contact. You can also go with shorter or fewer visits. So you could cut back on how often you go over to her house, or how long you stay when you're there. Instead of a full afternoon, maybe you leave after an hour instead of going over there every week. Maybe it's once a month. Maybe you only go to some of the Sunday dinners that she has, or you limit, you know, that whatever that might look like. And then you may also limit certain family parties, holiday events, family reunions, any of that, that whatever traditions that your family has. Sometimes low contact means skipping gatherings altogether because you may have toxic or abusive extended family members that you don't want to be around, whatever that dynamic is. You can choose not to put yourself in situations where the drama, judgment, or emotional exhaustion is already predictable. So those are just a few ways that people start limiting contact with their mom. But I do want you to realize it's rarely that clean cut and simple. Because every family dynamic is different. Every mother-daughter relationship is different. Also, though, it's not easy. Because as soon as your mother notices that there's a difference, there's a shift, she's going to start pushing back and on every single line that you draw. If you decline a holiday gathering, expect guilt tripping, victim playing, expect literally like a tornado of all of the things that we discussed. She may start saying, you just don't love me enough. You don't prioritize me. I can't believe my own daughter would not prioritize her family. Anything like that. If you call less, she may accuse you of neglect. She may demand explanations of why you're not calling her. She might start playing the victim. I guess you just don't love me anymore. All of that. Any shift that you make that gets on her radar, whether it's a subtle shift or a bold shift, can trigger escalation in her behavior. And I want you to realize this, that one of the things, I always knew that my mom was emotionally immature. And me and my sister have discussed this regularly. But I didn't realize the level of it until my mom started noticing the changes and started triangulating with other family members, started literally overtly criticizing me, talking condescendingly, all of that stuff. It's literally shocking. And I just want you to be prepared for this because it can be really, really, really difficult to all of a sudden see your mom for who she really is when you start making changes and all of a sudden her behavior goes absolutely wild. The same toxic behavior that made you want to step back in the first place is going to intensify. Be prepared. That's why it is very important to go into this knowing that it's not just you. You are not the only one experiencing this. When you start limiting phone calls, when you start declining invitations for family events or whatever, and you this behavior starts to escalate, she starts talking bad about you, flying monkeys start calling you, why are you doing this to your mom? All of that stuff is going to show up. And you're not crazy for needing this distance. And also, you're not the only one going through this, okay? And if you're needing support, I have tried to create every type of space of support for women going through this because I know exactly what it's like. I know what it's like for your relatives to think you're the jerk, you're the problem, looking down on you. I know exactly what it feels like. I know what it's like to have your own mother triangulate with your daughter. And if you feel like you need support with women who understand, that's what the Inner Circle is about. And in fact, the Inner Circle is going to be opening up this week or next week. So if you want to get in on that, definitely sign up for the wait list for the Inner Circle because that is where we dive really deeply into these things. So Next, we're going to talk about just what we were leading into, the escalation that nobody warns you about. So if you start to step back, there's going to come a point where your mom is going to notice. And all of a sudden, you're on her radar. Every emotionally immature mother will respond differently, obviously. But essentially, whatever behavior it is that has caused you to want to step back is going to escalate. And I said that once before and I'm saying it again. And the reason I am is because I want you to understand this. I don't want you to be shocked. If you start stepping back, I don't want you to be surprised in the least. It's almost just like, oh, okay, yep, Tandy said this. This is exactly what was going to happen. I want you to feel prepared of like, oh, okay, here we go, right? She's going to become more controlling, manipulative. The guilt trips are going to get heavier and harder. They may turn into shaming you. She will start recruiting other family members into guilt tripping you as well, which is what we call the flying monkeys, obviously. Whatever behavior she was using before, it is going to escalate. Okay? Passive-aggressive comments or all-out criticizing you. She may tell a story about a cousin of yours that's always at the family parties and is so helpful. And then she'll turn on you and say, you just don't make that kind of effort for your family. Okay? And I know some of you are like, ugh, I've already heard crap like this. I know. And it's going to get worse if you start to step backwards from the relationship. So she can play the victim. And I know a lot of you already know all about this. I guess you just don't care about me. You don't even care about your own mother. Okay. However, she plays the victim. She's going to play the victim of the poor, rejected, innocent mother, that you just don't care about her, that you only focus on her mistakes. You don't focus on the good things. She's done so much for you. You're just so ungrateful. Okay. All of that, whatever level of that that you have heard in the past, just 10 times it, because that's what's going to happen in a low contact situation. And this is why some people say low contact did not work for me, because the reason that you're stepping back is because the behavior is toxic. It is harmful. And it just 10 times as bad when you start stepping backwards, to the point where it's like, I can't even tolerate this anymore, because it's not even a normal relationship. And this is exactly what I experienced, where my mom, phone calls with her, I would be spinning out for a week or two. And my husband was even like, I don't even want you talking to her. And the only, he's not controlling. He's lovely, lovely. But he just saw how hurt I was and how dysregulated I was after every single phone call, and was like, I just don't want to see you hurting like this. And it escalates to a point where it gets really difficult to stay in contact. Not for everyone, obviously, but for many. She will also start villainizing you. So if she's never done this before, especially more on an emotionally immature level, if she's never really villainized you before. I've been mildly villainized by my mom, but never on a really major level until my mom started noticing me stepping back. And then it was like all out war on the villain. You're ungrateful. You are selfish. You are unforgiving. You are unrighteous. All of that. And if your mom is religious, religion is going to start getting weaponized against you big time. She's going to pull, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with religion, but I do have a problem with religion being used as a weapon against people. Okay. I do have a problem with that. So depending on your family dynamic, you may hear comments about how selfish you are. The unforgiving is a huge one. They use that a lot. She may start talking to other people and just saying, I don't know what her problem is. She's changed. She's so unforgiving. She is making up lies about me. She's just following the trends on TikTok, and she's just hurting me so much. You know, she just doesn't care about anyone but herself. So she's starting to talk to other family members, friends, whatever, telling them, playing the victim and villainizing you. Like, you are the problem here. You may hear the, you know, you have to forgive 70 times 7, honor your father and mother. I don't know. It's all going to get weaponized. And she's the victim and you're the problem, right? That's basically villainizing you. In this whole situation of her villainizing you to other family members, this is how she controls the narrative. So when you start stepping back and saying, you know, I'm not going to make it to the family event or the holiday or whatever, you're limiting the phone calls when she calls, or you're not responding right away, or whatever this might look like, she starts playing the victim, controlling the story of how she just loves you so much and she doesn't know what's gotten into you and you're really hurting her, and this whole story that she's sowing among all the family members. And if this has never happened to you before, I just want you to be aware it can start happening when you go low contact. And what happens is all of these people that your mom is telling this victim story to, it can become flying monkeys. And generally, these are people that tend to be gossipy, have bought into her story, thinking that she is this innocent, lovely, wonderful woman. These are people that don't see through her mask ego. Okay? She's going to move quickly. Soon as she notices that change in how much you're talking to her, she's going to start spinning this narrative to family members, to friends, to her religious community, whatever it is, that you are being selfish, that you are cutting her off for no reason. She doesn't know what's gotten into you, but you are hurting her. You won't respond to her texts or calls, even though she's trying to have a relationship. So she's trying, you are not. This is the story. She will play innocent, painting you as the drama queen who is refusing to forgive, exaggerating stories, making a big deal out of nothing. So you're going to have siblings, relatives, family, friends, whoever it is, that start texting and calling you. So now it's not just a toxic relationship with your mom. Now, whatever relative or family friend has bought into her version of the story, they're going to start texting you and calling you and asking you, why are you hurting your mom? Why are you doing this to her? You just need to forgive. Now you're going to get it from them. And they will tell you that your mom is crying. Why can't you just forgive? Why do you always cause drama? All of it. They're going to repeat her narrative and her story. And I want to be really clear here. They don't care about your story. They don't care. And another thing that I would caution you here, do not tell them your side of the story. I know you're going to be tempted to, but it will only be weaponized against you. And if they are calling you, they've already bought her story. If they're texting or calling you, they've already bought her story, hook, line, and sinker. They literally don't care about you. And I'm not going to soften this for you. I'm not going to sugarcoat this, because you need to understand what you're getting. And you also need to understand how to manage these people so that you don't get in deeper than you want. Because the more that you try to explain yourself to these people, the more ammunition they have to send back to your mom. And also, the more that you're just going to end up in a spiral with them. They're going to tell you she just wants to be close to you. She cares about you. They're going to tell you all these things because she has said how much she loves you and how much she wants a relationship. They're not going to understand. And I don't care what excuse you think you have or how good of a story you think you have. Also, do not start talking bad about your mom. Do not start saying, she's done this to me, she's done this. Do not start doing that, because all that's going to do, despite what you think, is going to make you look bad. They're going to look and be like, yeah, she's just spreading all these lies, because they already don't believe that about your mom. If they did, they wouldn't be calling you in the first place. And if they wanted your side of the story, they would have asked, but they didn't. So if you try to offer your side of the story, it is literally going to blow up in your face. So that is definitely something to just be aware of. The escalation does not mean you're doing anything wrong. It means your boundaries are working and your mom's freaking out. She's trying to control the narrative with people around her, and it is triggering her fears of rejection, her fears of this perfect facade, all kinds of things. Her discomfort is proof that you've stepped out of the role that she created for you, and she's freaking out. And I don't want to put that in a way that sounds cruel. No, I don't think we should ever hurt anyone intentionally, ever. But at the same time, when you are dealing with a mother who is emotionally immature and causes a lot of chaos and harm to her children, especially her adult daughter, when you start stepping back, her reaction is just part of that experience. And if you're facing this kind of escalation and you don't know how to handle it, that's exactly what coaching is for. Designed to help you with support and strategies to help you navigate this stage without losing your peace. And with somebody who's been through it and understands what it's like. So I want to share a little bit of my own personal story of how this escalation looked in my own life when I started pulling back from my mom so that you can kind of understand. When I left the religion that I was raised in, I didn't make some big family announcement. I didn't say anything. I didn't really tell very many people at all. It was a big deal. It feels like your entire world is turned upside down. And most people inside that religion, which includes all of my family, extended family, cousins on both sides, both mine and my husband's, it's not something that I wanted anyone to know. The judgment and ostracism, criticism, you know, all of that that you get, it can be very painful. But I quietly told my story on an Instagram account that none of my family members or relatives were following, because this was about my faith transition journey. And that was why I started this account. And I know I'm going to expose my age here, but I did not know that if you started a different Instagram account, that it would suggest that account to other people that were following other accounts of yours. I did not know that there was any connection whatsoever. It was a different email address. It was a different everything. I had no idea it would be connected to my name. I realize how stupid that sounds, but that's what I thought. So I had no idea that anyone would ever find it. They wouldn't be searching for it, right? But my mom's sister, who has always been cruel and literally thrives on intentionally trying to hurt people, especially my mom. My mom and her sister constantly compete with each other of who's better and whose kids are better. My aunt has even been cruel to my daughter. She found out about the account. In fact, it was my cousin that came across my account. She read the story about me leaving the religion I was raised in and ran to my aunt, told her, who also read it. But my aunt wanted to create as much hurt and drama as she possibly could. So she didn't tell my mom about it immediately. She waited until she and my mother were at a women's conference together. And while they were there at this women's conference of tens of thousands of women, she pulls up my Instagram page and shows my mom that I had left the church that I grew up in. Okay, this was intentionally cruel and very intentional about the timing that she used. My mom called me immediately after, absolutely distraught, and the first words out of her mouth were that I was turning my back on Jesus. You've heard this before if you've listened to other of my podcasts, telling me I was going to spend eternity with whoremongers and murderers. And then insult after insult after insult came flying at me until I finally had to hang up the phone. And then in classic triangulation fashion, she immediately picks up the phone and calls my daughter, crying, telling her that I had tried to force her to listen to lies about the religion. My daughter at the time was 24 years old, calls my husband confused and upset and asking why I was, quote, hurting grandma. Do you see how that quickly flipped the narrative? She was trying to control how my daughter would see this situation. I went from defending myself from my mom to being painted as the villain in my own child's eyes by my own mom. Okay? This is what happens when they're trying to control the narrative. So, obviously, there was no apology for all of the insults and the attack that my mom went on. So I obviously stopped answering the phone. I stopped answering her texts. I needed some space to think. And I know I had a brother who had left the religion a year or so earlier. And I heard my mom talk about how he was deceived, how he didn't know right from wrong anymore. And I knew what my mom thought of me. And I also knew because of the absolute crazy rampage she went on the phone. When I chose silence to protect my peace, she doubled down. Now notice how this contact starts to shift. She gets upset and angry and acts out inappropriately, refuses to apologize, so clearly I step back. Now this is, you know, there's a long story prior to this. This is not a single incident that caused this, but obviously it was not good. So then, after a couple weeks of me not answering her phone calls or texts, because I had answered them initially, and it was just creating me as the problem with no apologies for the things that she said, she calls my daughter again, telling her that I was cutting her off for no reason. And again, completely inappropriate for a grandmother to call a granddaughter and complain about that child's mother. Not appropriate. Finally, I did answer the phone. I was hoping that she would listen to me. Telling her I did not appreciate her calling my daughter. Telling her I didn't appreciate these. I wanted an apology. I did not get one. She started weaponizing scripture against me. Forgive 70 times 7. Telling me I was focusing on her mistakes instead of forgiveness and grace. As if my boundaries meant I was sinning. She used comparing me with other people to shame me. Telling me about my cousin who was doing all these wonderful things and how I was not prioritizing family, but my cousin was. Constant condescending guilt trip comments. And it eventually escalated to the point where every single phone call, every text carried a passive aggressive comment from my mom. Every single one. There was no safe space left in our relationship where it had not soured to condescending, passive-aggressive comments, controlling, manipulative, playing the victim, you name it, it was all there. Even the simplest conversations became opportunities for her to remind me that I was the problem. This is what escalation looks like. It's not just the guilt trips. It's shame, triangulation, weaponizing your religion against you, smear campaigns, comparing you to other people. It's death by a thousand cuts. And this is why low contact can be extremely difficult and painful. I've never seen a daughter go low contact without trying to set boundaries or, you know, reduce contact first. But most of the women I talk to, the behavior becomes so intolerable with low contact that it sours the relationship. And I don't say this to discourage you, but I just want you to be prepared for what you may face. Because I will tell you, I would go a couple weeks without answering phone calls and texts from my mom. This was not a big deal. In fact, to be honest with you, I've been married for almost 30 years, okay? In the 30 years that I've been married, I have gone times in my life where my mom hasn't tried to call me or contact me or talk to me in 3 months because she had no use for me. If there were no family parties or events going on, if it wasn't my birthday or anything like that, I could go months without hearing from my mom. But the minute that she notices that I'm the one doing it, she's now freaking out. So it isn't like this was different to go a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks without talking to her. I've done that a million times over and way longer, honestly. But it was just the fact that she knew there was a reason I wasn't. And so she starts to freak out. And I just want you to be aware because I don't want anybody to be broadsided. I literally went into this thinking that my mom would apologize, thinking that, you know, me taking some time to cool off would be respected, or, you know, that I did not have any idea what would happen. And I don't want anybody else walking into this as naive as I was, because it's painful. And when your mother starts to turn your own child against you and create and your child as an ally for her, that's rough. I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. And I will tell you, I confronted my mother about that. Still to this day, I have had no apology for my mom doing that with my daughter twice. Do you know what? The only thing I've ever gotten is she says she never did it. So when you choose low contact, it's not just about creating space for yourself. It comes with hidden costs. And I just don't want you to be taken by surprise. You may feel guilt. You may doubt yourself. There may be a lot of confusion, questioning yourself. Even when you know that you need some space from your mom, you start to feel guilty. That's the conditioning speaking. From childhood, you were trained to prioritize your mother's feelings over your own. So any step back feels unnatural at first. That inner voice will whisper, am I doing the right thing? Am I really the problem? But I want you to hear me. You are not the problem. Low contact has a way of shining a light on the family dysfunction. It has a way of shining a light into the dark shadows of your mom's behavior, and it will bring it out. Suddenly, the unhealthy dynamics become crystal clear. You may notice patterns you never saw before. Who plays the hero? Who plays the victim? Who jumps in as a flying monkey? It's painful, but it also brings clarity because you know who your people are. The people who care enough about you to come and say, hey, what's your side of the story? People who care about you will want to know you. They will want to know and support you or get both sides of the story. They will want understanding and clarity themselves. So it definitely is a great sifting process of family members, friends, and other people. You will know for damn sure who cares about you and who doesn't. But there is grief. Many daughters who go low or no contact mourn the mother they never had. And there's always this hope that she's going to be that. I can't tell you how many conversations I went into with my mom after not speaking to her for a month and answering a phone call, hoping that something would be different, only to be met with a passive aggressive comment right off the bat. Condescending comments, manipulative comments, and your heart just sinks when you start realizing that it's never going to change. The grief hits. The loving, safe, supportive mother that you always hoped for but never received. Or just grief over the loss, a loss of hope, whatever it is. But the grief is real. It's not weakness. It's the natural result of letting go of the fantasy and facing the truth. And we all feel it. And allowing yourself to grieve is part of the healing process. It is a part of it. There is guilt that comes. If you're doing the right thing, questioning yourself, all of this is part of the process. You don't have to go through it alone, though. If you're navigating this emotional toll and need support, I'd love to walk with you. Whether it's in one-on-one coaching sessions or inside the Daughters Rising Inner Circle, you'll find validations. We have sister circles in there solely to support each other. Weekly group coaching calls, all kinds of resources for you. I mean, literally, you probably would not have time to go through all the resources I've put together for you in the inner circle. But there's a reason for that. Because you will find whatever it is that you need. If you need scripts because you're still in contact and you need to scripts for guilt trips, gaslighting, victim. If you need to know how to decline things without excuses and justifying yourself. If you need this support, when you're no contact. If you need to learn how to recreate holiday traditions, whatever that looks like, you'll find it there. You'll find it. And that's what I created it for. I want you to walk in there and say, if there's a question I've got, I have access to the answers or the support that I need or the understanding that I need. It's still on waitlist, but I've got a lot of people on the waitlist right now and limited spots. So you can get on the waitlist. I will be releasing when the doors open in the next, probably this week, potentially next week. I will open it to the waitlist first. And they will have 72 hours dibs on joining the inner circle. And then I will open it up to my regular list and then my social media account, including the podcast. So that's the third place that it is going to be opened up. So if you want that level of support, definitely get on the wait list. It is on the website, super easy to access. When you choose low contact, it's not just about limiting text or limiting visits. It's about protecting your nervous system, protecting your own mental well-being, your time, your peace of mind. And those of you that have gone through this situation with an emotionally immature mom, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is literally the most dysregulating, emotionally draining thing to be around someone that's emotionally immature because they are very needy, but they give you nothing. Your mom won't be willing to lift a pinky finger for you, but she will suck you dry. And you know what I'm talking about if you've been through it. So number one, I want you to prepare yourself. Think about the tactics your mom usually uses against you. The guilt tripping, playing the victim, weaponizing religion against you, triangulating with family members, whatever it is. Write down short, simple responses ahead of time so you don't get caught off guard for these things. Okay? Letting her know, I'm not going to debate this with you. This is not up for discussion. These types of responses are what we have. I have basic explanations of this in the survival kit and then obviously more in depth in the inner circle, but that's how you need to be prepared. And when you do these responses, there's no, I'm sorry, do not apologize. Do not try to defend yourself and do not give reasons for anything you do because she's just going to try to poke holes in them. And then number two, validation. Guilt is one of the hardest emotions to untangle through this. And I deal with this with my clients that I talk to every week. Guilt is one of the biggest things that they talk about. You find yourself second guessing every decision, replaying conversations in your head. And that's why it's crucial to validate your own choices. Create affirmations like, I'm allowed to protect my peace. I don't need to explain my boundaries, that kind of thing. Just validate yourself, okay? These are not just supposed to be nice words. That doesn't work. These need to be powerful statements that resonate with you. That's why I can't make affirmations for you. Just general affirmations that you buy online don't always give you the validation that you need because they're not unique. Do I provide you with affirmations in the survival kit? Absolutely, I do. Because you need to understand what affirmations are and how powerful they can be. And you can use those, you can reword them. They are there as a tool for you. But they help rewire that subconscious over time to believe and trust in yourself and your own decisions. And number three, always, always, always you need support. This is not something to do alone. And you may have friends, you may have a partner, you may have people around you. They may not get it. Some may, some may not. Many women that I talk to don't have people that understand. So surround yourself with people who can affirm your boundaries. Maybe a spouse or partner, safe friends or supportive family members. If you have some, be careful though, because sometimes they can seem supportive and they are funneling information back to your mom behind your back. So just be careful about that. That's definitely a dynamic that I have seen. If you don't have those kind of people in your life yet, again, I know I'm shamelessly plugging the inner circle again. It's just an amazing space where you are listened to, validated, and supported by women that are walking the same path as you. So if you are walking the low contact path, I want you to remember this. You are not selfish. You are not ungrateful. You are not the villain. You are a woman protecting her peace. And it's normal to grieve. It's normal to second guess yourself. And it's normal to wish your mom could respect your boundaries. But protecting yourself is not wrong. It's necessary. Okay. So again, any of these things that we've talked about, the survival kit, the one-on-one coaching or hypnotherapy, or the Daughters Rising Inner Circle, they are all at themotherwoundproject.com if you want to look at any of those options. Also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram. There's a lot more information there for you at themotherwound.project. That's where I am on Instagram. I share inspiration. I talk about all of the dynamics of dealing with an emotionally immature mother there as well. The podcast obviously is great. I do have a Substack. I have not been on there recently. I probably will start posting more articles, but I've had a lot of clients lately and working in the inner circle, and so it's not as much, but I want to share as much information with you as I can so that you can feel like somebody gets this. Someone sees me in what I am going through because I have walked this path myself and I completely understand the confusion and I have made all of the mistakes along the way, thinking that something was going to help, thinking that something was going to work, and figuring out that it just did not. So anyways, I hope that this was eye-opening for you, whether you've gone low contact and you just felt really seen and heard in this, or for those of you that have been struggling and really wanting to set boundaries or wanting something to change so that you could find some peace within yourself, wherever you are, I hope that you found some useful information in this, and I really appreciate you joining me and supporting my work, and I will see you next time.